morning, everyone. Really, really lovely to be with you here this morning. My name's Ashley. If I haven't met you before, come and say hi afterwards. It'd be really, really lovely to meet you. And a special warm welcome to anyone who's new with us this morning. It's great to have you here. We are going to be continuing our series this morning on who Jesus says he is. Through the summer, we're looking at his series of his I am statements. Last week, Tony preached on John 10, 1 to 10, which was, I am the gate. And he was looking at how Jesus tells the Pharisees who had been trying to take him down after he'd restored the sight of a blind man. And he tells them about how he is the only way to eternal life. And in that passage, Jesus uses the imagery of the people being like sheep, who listen for the voice of the one who they know keeps them safe, the gatekeeper. And so today's preach, it's kind of like a part two of last week's preach, because it follows directly on from where we left off. And Jesus is going to be continuing his theme of his people being like sheep. But in this passage that we're looking at this morning, he talks about how his role this time is in being the good shepherd. So we're going to get started. We're going to get stuck straight into the passage. We're looking at John 10, and we're looking at verses 11 to 21. Feel free to follow along in your Bible if you want to, but it is going to be up on the screen. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. And the man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And the Jews who heard these words were again divided, and many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So when you read a passage like this, I wonder what it evokes in you, because it's 2025, right? And most of us have spent a large portion of our lives just sitting in front of a computer for our working lives, or maybe looking after people. I know we've got a few farmers among us. I don't know if we've got Giles with us this morning or Josiah, who spent a lot of time. These guys might read this and go like, oh yeah, sheep, they're the worst. Or maybe like, oh yeah, sheep, love them. I don't know, whatever it might be. But most of us don't really have much to do with livestock, do we? Like Tony said last week, in my experience of sheep is pretty much down to, you know, those open lambing things that you can go to with your children. And I spend my entire time just like squirting everybody with anti-back, like constantly. And then I get on a tractor and it rains and I question my life choices. And that's basically the most that I have to do with it. So when I read a passage like this, although on the one hand it seems quite simple what is being said, I don't automatically go into, oh yeah, no, I totally get this mode. Now, God made all animals differently. He made some quite smart and some not quite so smart. And I think most people, certainly in England, can be divided into two categories of people. You're either a dog person or you're a cat person, right? Where are our cat people at? Yeah, we'll see. Exactly. There's quite a lot of cat people here in the room. Now, cats, they're pretty much capable of looking after themselves, aren't they? They are, yeah, exactly, they are independent, they're agile, they're smart, they can hunt their own food. If you drop down dead, so long as the cat flap is open, they're going to be fine. They're just going to step over you and carry on ruling the world, or whatever it is that they do. Sheep, total opposite of that. Sheep are, they're pretty stupid. They fall down holes and ditches all the time. They wander off aimlessly. They stray. They follow each other without thinking about where they're going. They're kind of the bottom of the food chain. And a shepherd's job is to keep these pretty stupid sheep safe. It's to look after their well-being. It's to make sure that they have what they need and to guide them to graze into good places and to protect them as well from predators. And without a half-decent shepherd to look after them, the sheep are not going to do well. They're going to stray. They're going to get lost. They're going to be vulnerable to people. And so to be called a sheep, it's a bit rude, isn't it? When you hear about what a sheep sounds like, it's an insult if someone calls you a sheep. But in the Bible, we're called sheep on a fairly regular basis, as we'll see as we go on through the morning. In 1 Peter 2:25, it says, "For you were like sheep going astray." And Mary has already brought a word about that this morning, about how we are like sheep going astray. Because the truth is, we are a little bit stupid, and we do wander off. And we wander off after the kind of the juiciest looking patch of grass or whatever else it is going on without thinking about where we should be going. We are so vulnerable. We're vulnerable to being taken advantage of, and we're vulnerable to being lured away. It's in our nature as human beings to find someone or something to follow. And throughout history, there have been countless examples of uprisings and rebellions and cults and religions of people saying, come follow me. I've got the answer. I know the way. And astrologists, they'll tell you, I know the way. It's in the stars. So if you wait until the stars align in this particular way and in this particular order, it'll tell you how to organize your life. It'll tell you where to go and what to do. And it's so common, even still to this day, that it's in almost every single magazine and newspaper in the country, is there a section for that. And the tragedy is that people are so lost. People are desperate to be told what to do and will cling on gladly to someone or something who helps them to feel safe within that. And so on top of all of the lures and pulls that there have been throughout history, we're living in a whole new age of this at the moment, because we're living in the age of influencers who are bombarding us online constantly with their messaging. Now, most of these influencers are probably fairly harmless. Does anyone know who the most like influential influencer, if that's a thing, is of today? It's Joe Wicks. Joe Wicks is like the most, I know, right? Joe Wicks is like the most kind of, has the most followers. Now, I would hazard, right, that following Joe for like recipe ideas or workout ideas probably isn't going to lead us into an absolute den of depravity. It's unlikely, isn't it? But there are many, many out there who are preying on vulnerable people who feel lost and telling them, come, follow me. Follow me. I know the way. I've got the answer. There's men like Andrew Tate who promote this idea of ultra masculinity and self-help, and that women belong in the home and are valuable for their looks or for their submissiveness. And he encourages control and he encourages dominance and claims that this is the way to become a high value man. And he has millions of men, both young and old, who are following him, who says this is the way. And it's the same for the multitude of influencers who are continuously promoting this idea that all of our hardships and our woes are caused mainly from refugees arriving in boats, not because our systems are broken and we are a greedy and selfish people. And do you know what guys like this use to talk about those who don't agree with them? They call them sheep. They say it's only us, the free thinkers, who have got it all figured out, and everyone else, they are the brainwashed sheep. And people like this are subtle, and they mix kind of solid messaging with violence and misogyny and anti-refugee things, but they are deeply attractive to people who are lost and who are looking for someone to follow and are looking for someone to show them just simply how to be. And they prey on these feelings of loneliness, and they're very, very real feelings. Now, I'm here this morning to talk about Jesus, not these guys, right? I don't really want to give them any more of my breath because they're ick, but Jesus himself is pausing to talk about this. The passage tells us, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. And the man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. And the passage, it talks about the hired hand. Who is the hired hand? He or she is someone who wants you to follow them and ascribe to what they're doing and come along with them. But he's not really or she invested in your life. It's just someone who is in it for the money and for the power. These guys, they care nothing for the people who follow them. They care nothing for you. And it's important that we talk about this stuff as a church because Jesus himself here is making this point. These are bad shepherds and their views are subtle and persuasive and they find their ways into our feeds and into our minds and we need to be wise. Because some of us have one foot in the Bible and kind of one foot in these narratives because they're subtle. But the absolutely incredible news is there is a good shepherd. There is a good shepherd, one who loves us and one who cares for us so, so deeply. And this passage is so beautiful because it tells us some amazing truths about what a good shepherd looks like and what a good shepherd who does care for us looks like. And he couldn't be any more different to the hired hand. And so there are three truths this morning that I want to pull out of this passage that we're going to look at about why Jesus is the one who is worth following. The first one is that he knows you intimately. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. You are not a statistic to Jesus. You are not a number. God knows you intimately. And because we don't really have this kind of easily accessible modern day understanding of what like a relationship between a sheep and a shepherd is, it's hard to understand just how precious these sheep are to Jesus when he's talking about them, okay? Because this is not transactional for him. This flock is not just like his income. A good shepherd is walking every day with his sheep. He is carrying them when they are hurt. He is guiding them like this away from danger. He lies down at night with them and protects them. He knows which of his sheep are timid. He knows which of his sheep are a little bit feisty. He knows which of his particular sheep are like prone to falling into which particular ditch. And what Jesus is demonstrating here, it's not like a kingly, lofty relationship where he sits in his throne and he surveys his flock or his followers. The statement, it doesn't end with, I know my sheep, but also, and my sheep know me, because he is with them. He's walking amongst them. It's an up-close kind of knowing. He knows their weaknesses, and they, in turn, love him. So when Jesus talks about his sheep, he's not being rude. It is not an insult when Jesus is calling people his sheep. He loves them. It is up close. He talks about it in a way like a parent will love his child. It's up close and it is deeply, deeply knowing. Jesus knows you. He sees you. He doesn't just know your name or know that you exist. He knows your fears and he knows what delights you. In Psalm 139, David says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. See, Jesus, he knows just how prone we are into falling into these ditches and which ones they are, whether it's low self-esteem or addictions or struggles with mental health, whatever it is. And even though he knows you more intimately than you know yourself, he loves you so much that he would lay down his very life for you. Because the next part of the passage says this, I lay down my life for the sheep. This is not someone who is in it for the money. It's not someone who's in it for the fame or in it for their own gain whatsoever. This is someone who is so invested in his flock's life, in their safety and in their well-being, that he would give absolutely everything for them, even his own life. And in the first part of the passage, the one that we looked at last week, if you weren't here, by the way, do listen to it on the download. It's really, really good. But in that one, Jesus talked about promising abundant life to others. But now in the next breath, in total contrast to this, he tells them what the price for us to have abundant life is. And it's the giving of his own life. And that is, of course, exactly what Jesus did. And we are a wayward and sinful and prideful people. You might not like to hear it, but we are. We stray all the time. And Jesus, in his absolute total mercy, gave up his life in order to protect us from ourselves. Why did he do this? Why would he go to such lengths? And the reason is, despite the fact that he knows us for all of our flaws, all of our wretchedness, it's he loves us. In John 1, 3, verse 16, it's probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. There is a reason for it. And it says, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Amen. In Ephesians 5, verse 2, it says, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, because we are a people who do continuously stray away from God's best from us, who are just impossible to keep on the straight and narrow by our own volition, we are a shepherd's nightmare, right? Just constantly going this way, constantly going that way. But because we just cannot keep ourselves safe, Jesus gave his life as the ultimate sacrifice to make us safe with him eternally. And this passage tells us it isn't something that he had to do, but he did it willingly. It says, he says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again, which of course he did when he rose 3 days later, again, forever conquering death. Amen. Praise God for that. But at this time, when he was talking to the Jews, this hadn't happened yet. And so they didn't actually know exactly what he was talking about. But they should have been, the people he was talking to, the Pharisees, they were supposedly almost like professional scripture readers. This is what they did. So they should have known what the scripture said, because he's working out what was already foretold in Isaiah 53, when it said, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And here we have it again. The fact that we are sheep. I told you, as we saw through the morning, that the Bible is continuously using this imagery. But when he died for us, he took the consequences of our constant wandering. And by his own blood, he paid the price, so we no longer have to bear the consequences before God Almighty for what we have done and continue to do. And so, you know, if you have to choose who you want to follow, and you have a choice. We, all of us, have a choice in who we want to follow. If you have to choose who you want to protect you and lead you and guide you through this life and be within the next, why would you choose anything or anyone other than this? And if you think you don't deserve it, then guess what? You don't. You don't. None of us do. None of us do. But in Romans 5, verse 8, it says, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Not once we got our act together. Not once we stopped falling into the ditches. No, the good shepherd who knows his sheep so intimately, loves them so deeply, and gave himself for us, he did it while we were still idiots. All we have to do is choose to follow him. That's all we have to do. Now, I could stop there with this, but there is one other part to this passage that I think is both deeply challenging and deeply lovely that I want to highlight, because what Jesus does next is he shows us just how wide and open this invitation is. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, the other thing about us as humans is that we like to be special, don't we? We like to think that we have been chosen for something that, you know, no one else particularly has. One of my children recently got chosen to go to a Goodwood sports thing because they'd done particularly well at their sports day, and they were all like, yeah, I've been chosen, I'm the special one, and all like puffed up. Turns out actually loads and loads of people were chosen to go, but never mind. He's sitting there with a bad knee. But it feels good, doesn't it, to somehow feel a little bit superior and like you've been chosen for something that no one else has been. And, you know, it's the reason why influencers like those we were talking about earlier do so well, because they base their teaching on the idea that they are kind of like the free thinkers, that they've got something special, a bit of special knowledge, and no one else has it. And if you get it, if you get what they're saying, then you're obviously smarter than everyone else. And everyone else are just sheep unable to think for themselves. And it's why conspiracy theories, they're so rampant. And it's why secret societies like the Freemasons and things have thrived for hundreds and hundreds of years, because people like to feel special and a bit different and a bit superior, because it feels good to be a part of an exclusive group. But the thing is, if you want to feel like you have an extra special secret and you have it all figured out, then I have really bad news for you if you want to follow Christ. Because Jesus does not invite you into an exclusive club for clever people who have it all figured out. No, Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and there will be one shepherd. Now, there's some debate among biblical scholars about who exactly it is that Jesus is referring to when he's talking about these people. Some say it's talking about Christian through the ages, as in the generations then, the generations now, the generations to come. Some say that Jesus is talking about people from different geographical regions, and some say that this is like the great announcement about how he's opening up to Gentiles, to the whole of the nations rather than Jews. And the truth is, in my humble opinion, it doesn't matter exactly who it is that he's talking about here. What Jesus is saying is this is not an exclusive club, right? This isn't just for us. Like, we've got our happy little sheep and our happy little pen and we've got it all figured out. No, he says, I have other sheep in other pens and I lay down my life for them all. All of them. Jesus, he has sheep or followers from other tribes. He has them from different languages. He has followers and churches in poor places. He has churches in rich places. And he has churches in the borders that divide us. He has incredible churches that are led by men. And he has incredible churches that are led by women. And our pens may look entirely different. Ours might be in an old ambulance station. And someone else's might be with vaulted ceilings and glass stained windows. And another one might be on a floor under an old tree. But this is not an exclusive club. There is nothing special about us here. I mean, there is, right, because we're awesome. But there really isn't, you know. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It is not inclusive. No, opposite. It is inclusive. It is not exclusive. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are a part of the most inclusive, most diverse, and most open club in the history of the world. Isn't that amazing? You are one of billions and billions across the ages. Praise God for that. Jesus says, come. He says, come on in. Count yourself in. There are no special handshakes needed to be here. There is no special knowledge needed to be here. Come and find your rest under my protection. He says, I've got you. We so desperately need a good shepherd to guide us and to lead us and to keep us safe and to love us. And praise God, Jesus wants to be that for us. In Matthew 9:36, it says that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Listen, some of us have wandered off. And you are here, and that is great. This is where you should be this morning. But some of us, you know it in your spirit. But hear me as well. Once saved, always saved, right? If you have given your life to Jesus, then nothing is changing that. But as Christians, our life is kind of wiggly, isn't it? Like sometimes we are all in, 100%, going for God, on fire for it. It's an exciting time. But actually, none of us are doing that all the time, constantly. And because we are prone to wandering, sometimes we do. And sometimes we can get to a point where we feel so lost, we don't even quite know how to get back again. But you know what? If that's you, you're in good company. Because in Psalm 176, it says, in Psalm 119, verse 176, David, he cries out to God, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands." Now, Mary, in the worship today, brought a word on this already, that you might be lost, that you might have wandered. And do you know what? It doesn't even matter how you got there. It doesn't matter how you got there. God wants you. Because listen to this then from Ezekiel 34. Tony read some of it last week, but actually it's important. So I'm going to read some of it again. "For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he's among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries." And then he goes on, "I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick." God says, I will bring back what was driven away. There is nowhere you can go where he will not seek you. In Matthew 18, Jesus says, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than the 99 that did not go astray." Are you getting the message? It is constant, constant throughout Scripture. There is nowhere that you will go that Jesus will not chase you and find you, because he loves you. He loves you. Do you have any idea how precious you are to God? This is the beauty of the gospel, right? Even though it is open to all, it doesn't make you any less special at all. When you give your life to Jesus, you are his. You're his. He will move everything to find you, everything to find you and get you and bring you back to him. This is what a good shepherd does. This is what our God will do. He will seek what was lost and he will bring back what was driven away. And so as I draw into a close, I want to ask us a question this morning. Jesus says, "I know my sheep and my sheep know me." Do you know him? Do you know his voice? Because there are three ways, I think, that we can choose to respond to this passage this morning. Does the band want to come up, wherever you guys are? That'd be great. And so the first way that we can choose to respond is, if you don't know Jesus at all, you can choose today that you want to follow him, that you want to live your life under the love and protection of the good shepherd, of the one who already knows you intimately, even if you don't yet know him, of the one who lays down his life for you, even before you decided to love him back. That's the first way that we can respond this morning, if you're in that place and you feel that call that you want to follow Jesus. And the second way we can respond is, if you've already given your life to Jesus, Whether that was last year or whether that was 40 years ago, do you know his voice today, this day? Are you really following him still properly in the way that you wanted to, or have actually you wandered off? Have you found yourself a little bit lost? And if you have, remember, like, that's okay, you're in good company, but maybe you, like David in Psalm 119, need to repent this morning of some of the things that you've been choosing to follow instead of following Jesus. And maybe you want to make a decision today to recommit your life to following him and to leaning more into his voice. And the third option of how we can respond this morning is, of course, to do absolutely nothing, because you can choose who you follow. It's totally up to you. You might think you're just fine and you can continue following the teaching that has really got absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. Or maybe you are in that place where you're going 100% all in right now, in which place, God bless you. But I think the reality is actually that that's not many of us. And so if you want to respond this morning and make a commitment to following Jesus, whether that's for the first time or if you need to recommit to following him, or actually, why don't all of us, why don't we all just stand? And if you want to respond this morning and make a commitment to following Jesus, as I say, whether it's for the first time or just to recommit to following him, I'm going to ask you to just open your hands where you are. And there's nothing necessarily special about that, but it's a position of kind of surrendering to God and opening your heart to him. And I'm going to pray for you as we respond. And then we're going to carry on worshipping as well. And so you can just pray where you are, but we will be up here to pray for you too if you want that afterwards. Lord, we thank you that you are so, so good. We thank you, Lord, that you love us deeply, that you know us so intimately, and that even whilst we were still sinners, you chose to lay down your life for us so that we can have your safety and have your life in full. And Lord, I pray that you would meet with us this morning. Holy Spirit, would you come and minister to us now? Lord, would you show us where our hearts have gone astray? And would you lead us back to you? Lord, we thank you that you will always seek us out. We thank you that you rejoice over each one of us who chooses to turn to you. And we say we are sorry for wandering off. Would you bring us back? Would you set our eyes on you? Would you pour your Holy Spirit and set a new fire in our hearts to know you more, Lord? Lord, we don't just want to turn up on a Sunday morning for a quick God boost. We want to know you deeper. We want to know you more intimately. We want to know your voice. We want to walk with you daily. And so we say, Lord, we choose you. We choose to follow you. Thank you that you want to lead us well and that you love us so much that you lay down your very life for us. And we love you, Lord. Amen.